Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want that to be light. We want that to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
This is the Tech Guide Podcast. It's great to have your company for episode 19. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. Stephen Fenwick is my name and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This week we're going to do a roundup of all the rumors around the iPad mini, which is expected to be launched by Apple later this week. Next up we'll tell you why Australia has some of the cheapest iPhone 5 plans in the world and talk about an app that lets you avoid the food and drink queues at sporting events. In our reviews, we'll check out the new iFlash drive, which is like a US drive for an iOS device. We'll have a look at the new Joby UltraFit sling strap for photographers. And we'll also check out Apple's brand new iPod Touch and iPod Nano. And we'll finish it off with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A lot to get through here on Tech Guide. Well, later this week, early Wednesday morning, Australian time, Apple will be holding a special launch event in San Jose, which is actually near the company's head office in Cupertino, for an event which is likely to see the introduction of the much rumored and highly anticipated iPad mini. This this new device has been the subject of intense rumors for, I'd say longer, about 18 months now, nearly 2 years we've been hearing about a smaller, more compact iPad unit. And finally, we are likely to see it as early as this week. Now, what I've done on Tech Guide on the site and here with you right now, we're going to round up the rumors. There's so many rumors that get passed around ahead of major announcements like this. And we're going to go through a few of them here right now and let you know which ones we can take seriously and which ones we can dismiss. Let's start off with the screen size. 7.85 inches is the what people are thinking, what the main rumors are concentrating on for the iPad mini. The reason it is that size, down from the regular 9.7 inch iPad, is all to do with the apps. Now, apps need to be able to scale to the smaller screen size. Hence the reason why Apple are probably aiming for that 7.85 inch screen size rather than just a straight 7. We've seen 7 with the Kindle Fire and on the Google Nexus and several other devices, but the reason behind Apple probably going for the 7.85 inch size is the fact that it's all to do with the apps and being able to scale down without any need for modification, and with it, the app and all the elements of the app still being able to use comfortably on the smaller screen. So I've given that a certainty to be seen with the iPad mini. Moving on to the screen resolution, and again, this has got something to do also with the iPad 2. The screen resolution that we're hearing is going to be 1024 by 768 screen resolution. So that's the same resolution actually as the iPad 2, and another reason why the app for the apps to work without having to be rescaled with that having the same resolution as the iPad 2. We won't see a Retina display on the iPad mini. The Retina display will be reserved for Apple's top of the line product, the new iPad. So no Retina display resolution likely to be 1024 by 768. Moving along, the processor, again, to do with it'll have more in common with the iPad 2, the new iPad mini, than the new iPad. It will have likely to have the same A5 processor as the iPad 2. Now, what about the colors? Just last week, we saw the new iPod Touch in stores. and the with a range of new colours. The anodised aluminium rear panel is available in 7 different colours with the iPod Touch, and there is talk that maybe the new iPad Mini will feature a similar design where users can choose various colours for their iPad Mini. Now, this is unlikely in my opinion because I think the iPad Mini, hence its name, is going to have more in common with the iPad than with the iPod. It's going to be an iPod Mini, not an iPod Maxi. So it's going to be a smaller version of the iPad. I think just to stay consistent with that product line, there we're likely to see the usual silver anodized aluminium back panel. Another thing we're certain to see, a lightning dock connector, the smaller dock connector that we first saw with the iPhone 5. There's also a rumor that at the same event, Apple will unveil an updated normal, a regular size 9.7-inch iPad, the updated version, which will see the lightning dock connector added to the regular iPad. Now, if this is the case, especially with the new iPad, now you have to remember the new iPad was actually thicker than the iPad 2. The new iPad is 9.4 millimeters. The iPad 2 is 8.8 millimeters. If the lightning dock connector is adopted for an updated version of the iPad, then it is likely that they're going to get back that 0.6 of a millimeter. Might not sound like much, but it makes a world of difference in technology. They may get that size down, possibly even to thinner than 8.8 millimeters, but time will tell whether they're going to introduce that now, the lightning dock connector now to the regular iPad, or they may wait till March, which is the traditional time we see the iPad update. Another rumor that we're hearing too is that the iPad Mini will also see the end of the line for the iPad 2. You can still buy the iPad 2 as an entry-level product, but the iPad Mini, the introduction of the iPad Mini, may see that become the entry-level device rather than the iPad 2. And finally, our rumors, there's talk that the event is going to focus on iBooks, which makes sense considering that the smaller screen size, 7.85 inch, is the ideal size. It's almost the same size as a book anyway. So reading a book on that size screen is probably going to be quite a popular task, a popular use of the device. So they're going to give iBooks a real plug and hopefully make it as popular as iTunes and the App Store. So there you have it, iPad rumors. I'm actually recording this, my Tech Guide podcast, a night early this week, you may notice, because I'm actually off to the event itself. I'll be over there covering it live for Tech Guide. And as soon as I hear anything and see anything, I'll be writing about it right here on Tech Guide, talking about it right here on Tech Guide, but also on the Tech Guide website as well. So be sure to check it out.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
While on the iProducts, and this time the iPhone, some interesting news emerged late last week about Australia and our iPhone 5 plans. The comparison website Whistleout, which does a great job for consumers to compare various phone plans by device or by carrier or by price. So what it does, it allows people to have side by side a number of plans and the ability then to analyze the best value that you're getting for your money. Whistleout just recently analyzed the plans from Australia, the US, UK and New Zealand, the iPhone 5 plans. They've put them side by side, and surprisingly, Australia has come out as one of the cheaper countries in the world where you can buy an iPhone 5 on a plan. So Whistleout looked at the minutes. They converted a plan here in Australia. Our caps are normally just a dollar value, whereas in the US, the UK and other parts of the world, you pay for minutes. So calls aren't just given a dollar value here with the Whistleout. In other countries, it's a by the minute plan. So Whistleout has converted many of the Australian plans and put them side by side, and we're second only to the UK in terms of the best value when it comes to minutes. But other aspects too that it was compared with the iPhone 5. And that's data usage. Data is a very important part of an iPhone plan, especially the iPhone 5 with 4G. Australia came in almost equal second behind the US and the UK. So our value there is almost on par with the US. UK has got the lowest at four gig data plans there. And another factor too to take into account is 4G. Australia is lucky enough to have two 4G carriers, beaten only by the US in terms of coverage and the number of carriers that are carrying 4G. We're actually ahead of the game, ahead of the UK, where 4G is just being introduced and not as widespread as it is here in Australia. And in New Zealand, 4G is still in the planning stages. So yeah, overall, not bad value we're getting for our iPhone 5s. I'm hearing, though, that there's still plenty of people waiting. If you haven't got your initial order, if you didn't get it on day one and you've been trying to get it, iPhone 5 stock's pretty rare. I stepped into a Telstra store, actually, just out of curiosity, asked how long it would be if I were to order an iPhone 5 today and how long it would take to get it, and their answer was probably a month. So if you're after an iPhone 5, I hope you're not in a hurry. They're very hard to get. But on the bright side, you know that you're going to get decent value with it as well. If you want to read more, check out the comparison charts I've got on Tech Guide. Yeah, you can see those whistle out charts that I'll put on my story. Head over to techguide.com.au. Now, we talk about a lot of apps here on the program, and I write about a lot of apps on Tech Guide, but the latest is one that really took my interest. I'm a bit of a sports fan. In fact, I'm a big sports fan. And one thing that is probably annoys a lot of people is that when it's time to buy their food and buy their drink, the usual procedure is lining up for quite a while and missing the action. Well, good news, punters, sports fans, and everyone else out there, there's a new app that can actually help you avoid those food and drink queues at your favorite sporting events. Now, the mobile app is called QKR, and it's a collaboration between MasterCard and the Commonwealth Bank. And what it does, it utilizes the latest digital wallet technology, so it enables simple purchases like your game day food and beverages, a beer, pie, hot dog, whatever you like, but it allows you to make that purchase from your seat. There's going to be a pilot program kicked off at Etihad Stadium in Melbourne where attendees at that stadium, Etihad Stadium, I've been there, it's an enclosed stadium, so the roof comes over the top. Really, really great place to watch your sport. But they're having a pilot program there where people who have got the app will be able to scan a QR code at their seat. And once they use the QKR app to scan the QR code, the food and beverage menu then appears on your screen and you're able to order your food and your drink and pay for it on the spot using your digital wallet, which is pre-registered by the user, so either through a debit card or a credit card. And then that purchase is sent through to the catering staff and then delivered directly to the user's seat. Now, that sounds like an ideal scenario to me. And the beauty of that is that you don't have to wait in any queues. No need to get out of your seat even. And by not getting out of your seat, it means you're not going to even miss a minute of the action. So bring that one on, I say. I think I can't wait for them to extend the pilot outside Etihad Stadium and to up here to Sydney, maybe to ANZ Stadium, where I'm often attending the South Sydney home games and out there. So I'd love to be able to order from my seat rather than have to leave, miss the action and wait in a big long queue. So yeah, bring that on. The QKR app developed by MasterCard and the Commonwealth Bank. And if you want to read all about it, you can head over to techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide now. Tech Guide Review with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, one of the biggest complaints that we hear, especially when it comes to the iPad and even the iPhone sometimes, is the fact that there is no USB port on the device. Getting files on the device is very difficult unless you can wirelessly send it across, email across, connect it to the computer and sync it that way. But now there's a new product called the iFlash Drive, which is now available. That is basically a USB drive for your iOS device. Now, at one end of the product, let me describe it. At one end of the product is a normal USB connection. On the other side of the product is a 30-pin dock connector. And in the middle is the flash memory module that has capacities of 8, 16, 32, and 64 gigabytes. So what it allows you to do, using the USB end, connected to any computer, a Mac, a PC, drag over your files, pictures, videos, music, PowerPoint files, Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, straight across onto the iFlash drive. Once that's saved and there's no need to install any drive or software, it's simple plug and play. You simply detach it from the computer and then with using the other end, the 30-pin dock connector, that connects straight to your iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch. Now, upon first connection, you're prompted to download the free iFlash drive app from the App Store. Once that's done, that is the driving app for this product. So once that's installed, you click on the storage link, and there are all of your files that you dragged and dropped from your computer onto the memory. And then just by a simple tap, the video file, picture file, music file, it then will play for you right off the flash drive. Now, there are certain formats, file types for your pictures, audio, and video that I've listed on my story at Tech Guide, so that those play straight off the flash drive. In the event where you don't have that type of file, like for example, an AVI file is not supported directly off the flash drive, iFlash drive, what it does, it puts up a prompt on the screen to use your existing apps that may be able to play the file. Now, in the case of the AVI file, there is an app called VLC that is compatible with AVI files, because usually the iPad can only play MP4 video files, can also play MPV, M4V, and MOV files too. But if in the case where it can't play the file natively, whether it's a music file, video, picture, in iFlash drive, it allows you to open that file using your existing apps on your iPad, iPhone, or iPod. So a great solution for people who like to share files on the go. If I save something on the iFlash drive and I want to show it to someone else with an iPad, an iPhone, they can simply connect it and view it on the spot without the need to connect it to computers and a complicated process of sharing that file. The other advantage is you can also create folders within the iFlash drive, delete the files, upload files, download photos, upload photos as well. It's very handy. It's also a voice recorder. No need for a Wi-Fi connection, so getting your files on and off the drive, it's a physical connection and really easily done. Now, one of the biggest advantages is the fact that you can now not sacrifice any of your onboard memory of your iPad, your iPhone, or iPod Touch. In fact, if you have an iFlash drive, you may not need to opt for the 64 gig or the 32 gig iPad, seeing that you've got this extra storage now off the device using iFlash drive. That's a real upside. It saves your valuable iPad, your iOS device's memory. Now, the downside is, of course, that it is using the older 30-pin dock connector, which is, as we know, as we saw with the iPhone 5, Apple is eventually going to phase this dock connector out. So if you have got an existing iPad, an iPhone 4S or earlier, the older iPods, then this product can be used. But you've got to remember, down the track, Apple is eventually going to phase out the whole 30-pin dock connection. So if you're an existing user, you've got an iPad that you're happy with, the new iPad still has the 30-pin dock connector. It can be easily used with that. Pricing, 8 gig, $99, 16 gig, $149. 32 gig, $229, 64 gig, $349. Now, those last two may sound expensive, but when you consider if you were to buy a 32 gig USB drive, it's going to cost you more than $100. The fact that it's got both a USB and a 30-pin dock connector is worth the extra money, in my opinion. You can buy the iFlash drive, or pre-order at least. It's going to be available at the end of October from MrMobile.net.au, or you can call 02-8338-8558 and tell them you heard about it right here on Tech Guide, or read about it at techguide.com.au. Now, any photographer will tell you that lugging around a heavy digital SLR camera can really cause a bit of back and neck pain using the traditional strap that just goes around your neck. Well, a company called Joby, now this is a company that we first heard of when they created the GorillaPod tripod. It's the tripod that's got the flexible legs that can be wrapped around objects to enable your camera to be positioned when you're out and about. Well, this same company, who's already involved in the photographic industry, have come up with a new ultra-fit sling strap so that you can easily carry your digital SLR camera by your side without putting too much stress on your back and your neck. Now, how it does this, the Joby ultra-fit sling strap, as its name suggests, it goes across your body like a sling, so from across your shoulder down across your chest then to your waist, and it allows the camera to be securely and tightly held against your body, so it's not going to be bouncing around, injuring you, causing extra strain, or hitting anybody else. It's got a little pivot ring that allows the camera to move freely along your body and keep it close to your body. But when it's time to take your photo, it does allow the strap then it automatically extends the strapped length, so that when you bring the camera up to your eye, it's one fluid motion. You're not going to be struggling to rest the camera from around your waist up to your eye. It's one smooth movement. Now, the Joby Ultra Fit Sling Strap is available in a male and female versions. They're both priced at $54.95. They're not going to be available till late November, which is perfect timing if you're really a photography enthusiast who enjoys the warmer months and getting out and about and taking your images. So, yeah, well worth a look. Not too expensive either, $54.95. That's cheap compared to some of the prices that photographers pay for some of their equipment. So $54.95 is definitely not going to break the bank. If you want to read a full review, I've written a story at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, Tech Guide is brought to you by Netgear. Do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? We've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices we're using, like tablets and smartphones, connecting to the home network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear is a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience around the home. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and CD-less installation makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi. Now, we had a look at the brand new iPod Touch and iPod Nano. Now, if you cast your mind back, these were the iPod products introduced at the same time as the iPhone 5. The iPod Touch and iPod Nano have now both been introduced into stores and are available now. The iPod Touch features the same 4-inch Retina display as we found on the new iPhone 5. So, really nice big screen experience. Same 16:9 aspect ratio of a television. If you're watching your movies, you get that full. The movies take up the whole screen thanks to that 16:9 aspect ratio. Rear panels of the iPod Touches are now available in all various colors, and it's made out of that same anodized aluminium that Apple uses to make the Apple MacBooks. So it's still got that same durable feel, but available in 6 different colors. Now, the colors themselves, that's not just painted on the surface, it's actually bonded to the aluminium itself, so it's not going to chip off and you're not going to see a different color underneath. Underneath too, on the back of the device, there's also a small button on the bottom left. That's just a simple little button that pops in and out that allows you to then connect the iPod Touch Loop, a little wrist strap, so you can carry it around ease comfortably in your hand, and it's literally at hand whenever you need to either play an app, listen to a song, take a photo, or do anything like that. Now, in terms of the design, this is incredibly thin, this product. The iPod Touch is just 6.1 millimeters thick. It is very, very slender. In fact, you don't really appreciate this until you get it in your hand. It is an excellent, so thin and slender. It's just, but yet still has that really fine build quality, as we know with Apple products. Now, under the hood, Apple's the iPod Touch has the A5 processor, same as what's found in the iPad 2. It's also got improved graphics performance too, so even better for playing those apps and viewing your movies. Also included are the earpods, the new earphones from Apple that we saw with the iPhone 5. Only difference here is that the earpods with the iPod Touch don't have the inline remote control. So it's just the bare earpods. If you wanted the earpods with the inline remote, you can buy that separately. So for $34.95, you can buy the version with the inline remote that comes with the iPhone 5. Moving on to the, well, before we do that, let's mention the prices. $329 for the 32 gig iPod Touch, and $439 for the 64 gig iPod Touch as well. Moving on to the iPod Nano, this has had quite the makeover. This has been totally redesigned, and for the first time, it's got a home button. It's also got the largest screen we've ever seen on an iPod Nano too. It's got a 2.5-inch touch screen. So there's a couple of screens that you can toggle through with the touch screen. It doesn't have iOS, so there's no way to install apps, move apps, delete apps. What you get on there is what you get. So there's no way you can add to that to your app collection there because it's not running iOS. But another first for the new iPod Nano is the fact that it's got Bluetooth 4.0. So this creates a wireless connection to your music. So you may have a pair of headphones that are Bluetooth, a pair of in-ear headphones as well, or maybe a set of speakers that's Bluetooth compatible so you can stream your music rather than have to make that physical connection. Again, you're going to get the earpods, same deal though, no inline remote control, but still the new design, which in my opinion, they sound as good as a $200 pair of in-ear headphones that come in the box. That's pretty good value if you ask me. One thing too with the iPod Nano, it is also quite thin. It's only 5.4 millimeters thick. It's also available in a number of colors, and those colors are matched on the device's home screen. So the wallpaper is the same color as the exterior of the device. Now, built into the left-hand side, I mentioned with the earpods don't have the inline remote control. Built into the left-hand side of the iPod Nano is the actual controls you would usually find on the inline remote. So what you'll have is volume up, volume down, and the central button, which allows you to pause, double-click to go to the next track, triple-click to go back to the start of the previous track. So that is actually built into the side of the iPod Nano. So you don't have the control on the earpods. You can buy them separately if you do want them bad enough, but it is actually on the side of the iPod Nano. And the fact that it's also got Bluetooth too means that you can easily tuck this in your pocket and have your wireless headphones or earphones and not have to have a physical cable connection. This is the sort of device that's really, really ideal for exercises. I like to run with my iPod, my music, and I'd rather than taking my phone, I don't want to be getting calls and any kind of notifications while I'm running. This is a great way to detach yourself from all of that stuff. You have your music with you. You have some videos with you if you want. Not that you're going to watch videos while you're running, but it's available to you if you are just on the train or whatever. It's also got the Nike Plus Fitness app built in too, which can measure your run. Because of the built-in accelerometer, it can get your distance and by you putting in your size and age, your weight and all that sort of stuff, it can also work out calories burned and things like that. You can also store your photos on it. It's also an FM radio. So, yeah, the iPod Nano, pretty cool device. Now, the iPod Touch, I must admit too, and I must add, and also the iPod Nano, both feature the new smaller Lightning connector. In fact, with the iPod Nano, the Lightning connector, the device is so thin, it had to have the Lightning connector. It did have the traditional 30-pin dock connector. The 30-pin connector is actually thicker than the iPod Nano itself. So they would have had to make the iPod Nano even thicker. So to maintain that thin design, the Lightning connector was the only thing that they could use. Expect that to see on every other product that Apple released from now on. The iPod Nano has a 16-gigabyte capacity, and it's available now, $169. If you want to read more about my reviews of the new iPods and also see some pictures of the devices and how thin and light they are, then you can easily go over to techguide.com.au.
answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, this is a question we've been asked quite often, not only to me personally, but by email, on the forum, but also on the radio. Whenever I'm on 2GB, I get a lot of calls. Forgetting your iPhone password. Now, it's not just an iPhone. It could also happen with an iPod Touch. You put in your four-digit passcode, and lo and behold, some people forget it, and trying to crack that code is near impossible. Well, near impossible. It's not completely impossible. There is a way around it. One, if you have forgotten your password and you try to restore your device, it won't work. It won't work unless you restore the device on the same computer that you last synced it with. So if you're trying to restore it on any other computer, it's not going to work. You know, if for example, you lose your iPod, someone takes it home, tries to restore it on their device, it's not. It's a brick. They won't be able to get around it. But if it's your own iPod, well, what are the odds people are going to take your iPod back to your computer to restore it? Seeing it's your iPod, of course you're going to restore it to your computer. So hence Apple made that allowance where if you do restore it on the computer it was last synced with, it will be unlocked. But there is another way around it too. There is a way where you can, if you have to bypass and reset the iPhone passcode too, there is another way where you can disconnect the iPhone USB cable from your iPhone and you leave one end connected to your Mac or PC. Open up iTunes and with the iPhone, the disconnected iPhone, press and hold the home and power button on top of the phone to turn it off. Now you press and continue to hold the home button and while you reconnect the USB cable to your phone, and what this does, this puts the phone into recovery mode. And as you connect it, and it connects to iTunes, it will display a message to say that it's detected an iPhone in recovery mode, and then it will allow you then to go ahead and restore it so it can be used again without having to unlock the passcode. So there's two ways around it. If you are stuck with your iPhone password, you've forgotten it, you've given it to your child and they might have put a new passcode on it, as is the case oftentimes where a child puts a passcode on it, forgets it, and you just can't unlock it. Here are two ways you can do it. And it's nothing more frustrating than if you're wanting to get into your device. One of our readers that actually prompted us to answer this question on the show tonight said that their child had actually lent their iPhone to a friend at school. The friend had then gone and put on a passcode and forgotten it. And then when the iPhone was given back, they couldn't unlock it. So this answer is for our loyal Tech Guide reader that I've answered already on our forum and now on the Tech Guide podcast. Well, that wraps up our show for another week. You can read more about everything I spoke about this week at techguide.com.au. And we love hearing from you too. So get to send us an email at info@techguide.com.au. We also love hearing from you at our forum. So feel free to submit your question to the Tech Guide forum. And you never know, like our last question, you could have your question read out and answered right here on the Tech Guide podcast. And another special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear for all your wireless needs. I'm off to San Jose for the Apple launch. We'll be chatting about that on next week's podcast. It's been great having your company, and I look forward to telling you all about it next week.